Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's John, Bam Bam the Dog. First, on behalf of both of us and everybody from the Real Ones team, I just want to sincerely thank you guys for tuning in. The folks that I bring on the show, they're family to me, and being able to tell their stories and bringing you into their world is something that I'm just super proud of, and again, grateful that you guys tune in. We've decided we want to take things just a step further. We're going to introduce a Patreon community, and basically what that means is if you become part of this community, look, I already bored Bam Bam. If you want to become a part of this community, you're going to be able to hear episodes early and all that, ad-free and all that good stuff. But there's all this behind-the-scenes footage, all this stuff that we've shot that really brings you into the folks that we've had on the show, really brings you into their world. You're going to be able to do live chats with me and the folks that I bring on the show to talk about their world, talk about the issues that they're dealing with, about their triumphs and their tragedies. Just go to Patreon/RealOnes. This whole idea was something about building bridges and bringing people together and bringing folks that often don't get the mic and giving the mic to them. So the fact that you guys tune in means the world. Anyways, again, thank you. Be good to each other out there. Rock and roll.
Tell me about your neighborhood. Tell me about.
All right, so I'm Mexican American. I'm Mexican, bro. My family from you know, both of my sides. My grandparents, right? They migrated. My dad came here when he was little, and my grandmother came here, you know, in the 60s, right? So that's it, you know, just pure, that's how I was born, raised, and I was born in East Los Angeles, which people don't know, that's pretty much like little Mexico right there, brother. Like, we've been fucking there since the fucking, this shit has been fucking colonized, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, whenever that fucking act happened, like, boom, this is the East Side, that's where we're at, right? And so I know nothing different than that, you know what I'm saying? I used to go to the stores hearing Spanish, and you know, so it's just this America that is unlike any other fucking America, straight up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing the mural, seeing the Virgin, seeing all these fucking colors, that this is my America.
Yeah.
But also with these communities, it's a broken community, right?
What
I believe the society, it's not just America, right? It's these communities, these cultures that are not of the colonizer, whoever colonized the fucking land, right? But if you are not of that, they put you in a place and you shit just happens. And so for me, it's East LA, right? To me, it's ghetto. It's the poverty. And that's what it is, bro.
But could you feel that? I mean, as a youngster,
you don't
could
feel
you
that right, shit, bro. Right. You don't feel that shit because, again, you think that's the norm, right? This is what it is, right? But then when you fully start understanding the fucking sickness of communities, right? When you start understanding that, like, what the fuck? Why all the men in my family have been in prison? Why has my community continued to suffer? Why are all my uncles on drugs? Why are all the neighbors? Why are all my friends? Why? When you start fucking thinking like that, right? And for me, that didn't happen until prison. That didn't happen until I was fucking set in a fucking cage where my mind was able to start thinking, right? But yeah, bro, that's the reality. A broken childhood, broken community, and my family has been involved in gangs since the 1970s.
What specifically? What gang were you
guys in? So my family's from one of the oldest gangs probably in the United States. It's the projects of V&E called the Estrada Courts. It's actually where Will.i.am came out of, right?
Wow.
Too, right? He was one of the, you know, he was one of the few African Americans on that side back then, you know, and so it's the projects. And so what the projects were originally was in the 1940s, when all those World War II vets were coming out, they put these housing projects in the big cities, right? So one of them was the Estrada Courts, right? So
how big is Estrada Courts, would you say? Like, how many people are living there, roughly?
Thousands, bro.
Thousands.
Thousands, right?
And so it's almost like a mini city. Within, right.
Yeah,
right.
Bro, it's not like, and the thing about the projects, like, the East Coast projects and the West Coast projects, like, the East Coast are high.
Right.
Ours are more spread out.
Yep.
From the west of the Mississippi,
yep,
that type of shit, we're more spread out,
it's like,
right?
A village.
Exactly. It's that type of shit. It's that New Orleans type of shit,
of
right? It's that Louisiana type of shit,
yes,
right?
Sir.
So yeah, bro, that's where my family came. And then I wouldn't be directly involved in that game, but I am, you know, we would just, you know, the continuation. It's like this, bro. What happened? So gangs in East LA have been around, I mean, 1940s, bro, right?
We've had a lot of people that have been involved in that. Where do you think they came from? What do you think their original purpose was? What was...
Bro, it's tribal, right? It's fucking tribal, right? As a society, you must belong to your people, right? Who are your fucking people, right? And if you don't belong to a people, you're gonna get hurt.
Sure.
Something's gonna happen to you, right? If you don't get with your crew, bro, that's just what it is, right?
And what do you think back in the 40s, did you hear any stories about how that originated? What were the risks? Who was coming to hurt you?
So I only could link in from direct source, right? And so this is, so in East LA, in Boyle Heights, you have these beautiful murals, right? And a fucking, of people playing, of football, you know what I'm saying? Of our culture and shit, right? But in my mind, when I grew up, none of that shit existed, right? So I asked my uncle, right? Hey, Theo, hey, how? Because some of those murals say like 1979, 1983, 19 whatever, bro. And I was like, hey, Theo, how was it back then? And he stopped and he was like, it was cool back then. It was different back then. And then I was like, well, what the fuck happened? And we broke it down, bro, that shit shifted when crack hit. Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of cities.
But like Los Angeles specifically, right? East Los Angeles specifically, that's what, you know, my uncle said that before that shit hit, yeah, you had full fucking, you know, doing a little heroin, you know what I'm saying? Downer shit, you know, a little acid, a little fucking drink, you know, a little, but when crack hit, bro, like it just took the soul. It took the soul, bro. Like, cause I'm from the 90s, bro. I started gangbanging in the mid 90s, bro. Like by that time, teenagers were knocking each other down for no respect, no fucking party. It was pure murder. You know, that was it, bro. That was it. Coming out of junior high, blah, 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 blah. 13 years old. What the fuck? Like, this was it, bro. So like, it didn't like, all I know was different, you know, good or bad. Everything had its shit, right? But when motherfuckers, when women are selling their children, right? When fucking, you know, when these horrendous, horrific things that have never existed before crack and the methamphetamine came in, you know, that completely destroyed these communities. And that's what I entered.
Do you have any recollection of this palpable shift, or do you feel like you were just born into it and that was the world that you knew?
I was fucking born into it and that was the motherfucking world that I knew, right? Boy, I remember coming out of my apartments and hearing screams and my neighbor, Largo from Maravilla. He's probably in his 20s and he's dragging his fucking girlfriend in front of his kids and my neighbor and his mom, and he's just beating the dog shit out of her, right? I'm like 13, 14, and she's screaming and fighting back, you know what I'm saying? Like, and let's go before that, right? Let's go before that, right? Because my home, right? Fucking hearing my mom get fucking beat next door, right? Like, that's what it is, right? You come up in fucking violence. You come up with like, fuck what's happening in the community. Fuck the community. What the fuck is happening in your fucking home?
Who's beating your mom?
Fucking motherfuckers just coming. You know, it's that, bro. It's fucking, it's, for me, bro, if you want to know what the fuck it is, bro, I'm an only child, fucking broken family, bro. My fucking dad left, and here I am with my mom, you know, and my mom's fucked up, bro. They're all fucked up. All fucking ghettos are fucked up. People that stay in that mentality, yeah, they want to get out, bro. But if you're there, you're fucking fucked up, right? So my mom fucking does her thing, right? Fuck it, right? So here I am, bro, fucking 2 years old, fucking here, you know what I'm saying? Like fucking mom loves more motherfuckers. Mom loves these motherfuckers more than me.
Do you remember how that felt as a child? Bro, Did you feel that as a child?
Bro, that's why you hit the streets. That's why. You're supposed to fucking love me and you don't love me? Well, fuck it, I'm gonna get this love, baby. Fuck it, ma. This is what it is, right? Those fucking, I used to be on those streets fucking running so tough, bro. I used to look forward to the days I used to get busted because at least I have a warm-ass cot. At least I knew where I was gonna fucking sleep at. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, fuck it, you know? This is what it is, bro. There ain't no fucking, you're crying for help, boy. Ain't nobody coming. Nobody comes, bro. Yeah, bro, I wish somebody would have fucking came. Nobody fucking came. And nobody came from all them fucking kids that were housed in jail to me, bro. I was institutionalized when I was 13 years old till I was 25. I was in a fucking cage till I was 13, till I was 25. Not all together, but you know what I'm saying, bro? Like, yeah, bro. Yeah, that shit's better than fucking being on those streets and being in a fucking home that ain't got no love, bro.
Can you give me an example of love that you found from your homies or from people
on
the street?
Yeah, bro, you know, bro, it's like at the end of the day, dog, like, if you tell me you're gonna ride with me, bro, fuck it, bro, I'll ride with you, bro, like, that's it, bro, that's it, bro, like, fucking, it? And it's like that, bro, like, all of them fools, dog, all the fucking, you know, all of them, bro, all of my friends, bro, all of them were all fucked up, and here we are. Fuck it, dog, at least we're gonna be fucked up together, right? You know, fuck it, and that's it, bro, you fucking, and you form this fucking bond, bro, that is unbreakable, because at the end of the day, we're all little warriors, we're all little men that were not mentored the right way, bro. This fire in us has to be fucking dealt with, you know? But if there's nowhere to deal with it, you're gonna fucking, you max out, you know, in whatever way. And that's it, bro, you know, it's that love, and then that's it. You can't break that shit, right? Motherfuckers are dying out there, bro. Fucking my boy dies, my boy's getting life. My best friend got life at 15. Sammy Espinosa got life at 15, you know? So it was that, you know, bro, and then by the time you're 15, your mind shifts, bro, like, fuck. That's it. You know, I'm growing up in jail. My friends are getting life and motherfuckers are getting smoke. Let's roll. Let's do this shit, you know? And I could tell you, it wasn't until fucking I fought a life sentence. I shot a man in East LA and they're trying to give me 35 years to life, bro. I was 20 years old. And that one got me. That one fucked me up.
How so?
That one shifted me because, like, you just see all your life, 19 years, like, fuck. My son was like one. And then you're just like, it's just like, fuck. Like, this is what it is, you know? Boom, you have a 35-year life to fucking, you have sentence on you, you know? And then you just fucking, you're just like, you're just thinking about life, bro. You know, that whole year I sat in the LA County Jail. I sat in the LA County Jail for 11 months, bro. Fucking 35. That's how I kept on hearing me playing my fucking mind. 35 years to life, how old am I going to be? You know, and that shifts you, bro, changes you.
Yeah.
Done, you know, and fucking through the grace of God, bro, fucking, I remember the week before, 2 weeks before trial, right? Fucking, because, so what happened, bro, is that on pre-trial, this fool said that I was there, but he said I didn't shoot him. So that was enough to send me to trial, but it wasn't enough to fucking, it wasn't an open shut case, right? Like, we're gonna have a trial, right? But it was enough to convict me for gang association. They had enough to convict me for gang association.
Were you pleading not guilty?
I fucking pled not guilty, bro. Fuck yeah, I did, bro. Because so this is what happened, bro. Boom, 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 boom. We got fucking 19 years old, bro. You wanna walk you through the night?
Please.
All right, fucking, I'm with the boys. My son's like one, bro. And like in this that, bro. Like, those are my friends, right? Like, I know that I need to do good, but like, those are my friends. And like, it just becomes one of those nights. We're drinking, right? We're drinking, and I don't give. It wasn't the alcohol, but it influenced it, of course, right? And that kind of changed my whole view of alcohol after, right? We're at the Commerce Casino. Fucking all the boys are there. We hit the hood, and it's me and my homeboy. It's me and Demon, and fucking we're striking up. We're hitting up the hood, right? And I remember I had that burner on me. Out of my back pocket. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. I didn't ever used to carry guns at that time, right? But for some reason, fucking hell, put that motherfucker right here, right? and then Demon gets off. Boom, I post my position, right? Boom, I got his back. Boom, anybody comes, I'm on him, right? Cops or whoever, I'm giving it to him, right? That's just...
And for the folks that don't know, you're tagging...
There's fucking graffiti on the wall. Spray cane is happening.
Can you just also just explain what...
So this is territorial. This is territorial. Los Angeles is territorial.
You're not just drawing pictures and shit.
We're not drawing pictures. We're striking up our fucking territory to let you motherfuckers know where the fuck you're at.
Which is a very dangerous endeavor.
So with that, right? But in my young mind, I already know what's up, right? Homeboy, where we're positioned. Homeboy's on the fucking thing. I'm on the corner with the burner, right? Anybody comes, cops come, woo woo, fucking fools come, boom, I'm giving it to them. That's it. So, but I've been drinking. Right. So I see these fools on the corner. I leave Demon. I fuck up. I leave him, bro. I have the murder. I leave his ass. I swear to God, I leave him. Boom, boom. I run up on these fools. What's happening? Right? But these fools have been drinking too. Mm-hmm. And bro, the big motherfucker, he's like, I don't give a fuck. And fucking, I give it to him. Bam, right? This was too big, bro. I can't, but I'm fucking on him, right? Boom, boom, boom. He fucking falls. Well, I remember him falling over me, bro. And fucking Demon to my rescue. Demon, see, he's on it, right? Fucking he comes. And boom, he starts stomping this wall. Boom, 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 boom. I get up. And I just, boom, I don't remember. I just don't remember. I fucking just pull out the burner, bro. And I just, boom, boom. And fucking one of them hit him, bro. One of them hit him.
You saw it?
Nah, I didn't even see it, bro. Boom, they scattered. He turns. And by the time he turned, I already had hit him. And fucking, yeah. And boom, we're gone. We're gone, bro. We're gone. We're gone. And fucking, the next day, they already knew because the fucking...
He tags him.
Bro, they go to Six Pack. Boop. Demon, boom, 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 boom. Right there, right there. Boom. They go, oh, fucking, I remember that morning, bro. The next morning, I'm an electrician at the time, right? Mm. And I'm getting ready for work, and I get a call. And it's my homeboy. It's my homeboy Termite. And he's like, hey, bro, what happened last night? Mm. And he was like, they're looking for you, bro. And boom, I remember crying. Mm. I remember I broke down. I remember I was sitting in my mom's fucking stairs in Santa Fe Springs. I hung up the phone and I fucking broke. And my life changed. Mm. And my life changed right there. Mm. And that was it. And that was it. They hit my grandma's house that night in Montebello. And I went on the run. I went on the run to Texas. I went on the run to El Paso to see my dad, you know? And then,
can you walk me through that, going on the run? Like, what's your emotional state, right?
You're just like, demon fucking, we hit it. Demon fucking goes. They start hitting houses, bro. They start hitting the homies' houses looking for us, right? You don't know if this one's dead or what, you know? You just know it's fucking looking for you, right? And you fucking, grandma calls, you know? Fucking, they come in, like, fucking SWAT team goes to my grandma's house. And my uncle was living, he was there that night, and then he seen him, you know, and he was like, he's not here, but they were fucking, he said, they were ready. But the thing is, it's crazy, because my mom used to work for Montebello Police when I was a little boy. So I think that's another reason why they didn't just kick down the door, you know, they knocked, hey, Señora Valtierra, you know, hey, you know, this is, you know, Lourdes is fucking, like, it was like that type of shit, like sergeants that fucking, hey, we're just, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, and that was it, fucking, it was go time. Demon went to the desert and I went to Texas, bro, and it was just like, let's see how this shit unfolds, you know? And I was sitting in El Paso with my dad, and he was like, you could go to Mexico, son. You had the house, you know? And I was like, fuck. I remember sitting there, like, in his yard, and, like, my son was one. You get me? My son was one, too, bro. Like, it was that type of shit. Like, I remember when I left my son, like, fuck, I might never see him. He was like, he didn't know. He was like, you know, when it's that, bro, you're just like, fuck, like. And then I hear that that dude survived and that he's not going to snitch. And that the reason why he's not gonna snitch is because he wants his rum back. And I was like, cool. I'll fucking deal with that, right? I'll fucking eat it. I'll fucking take one, right? And fucking whatever, we'll see each other, right? I'll take that shit. And instead of going to Mexico, I trust that, bro. And I was like, fuck it, let's go. And I turned myself in.
Wow.
I turned myself in, bro. I turned myself in at the Montebello police station.
Can you walk me through that choice? And yeah.
So fucking we go, bro, and it was like, yeah, I didn't want to be like, I knew what that run, like, that's it, bro, on the run, you're never coming back. I knew, you know, and at the end, I was like, I didn't kill this motherfucker. I know they're going to try to wash me up, but I didn't kill his ass, you know, so fuck it, let's face the music, baby, because it was that, like, fuck it, like, here, this is what my life is, right, let's face this shit. I went to the county jail on my 18th birthday, so I already had fucking, you know, county jail experience. And what they say about the LA County Jail, that if you could survive the LA County Jail, you could survive any fucking prison in the United States.
Do you agree with that?
Fuck yeah, bro. It's dark, the dungeons, bro, right? So I don't know if this shit's gonna make it or what, but I don't have no money, bro. I'm fucking... So the only way to make money in the county jail is to sell fucking dope, right? I need, you know, like, if I don't got no money, my mom ain't gonna send me shit, my girl ain't gonna send me shit. So yeah, bro, that starts off the trials, and bro, yeah, and then 11 months in the county jail. And then, so the week before, brother, the week before I go to trial, the judge, she tells me, Mr. Cabral, I know you wanna go to trial, but we have an offer for 13 years. And fucking, she didn't even fucking wait for me to reply. But she was like, the way you're looking at me right now, I know you're not gonna take it. And I was like, nah, I ain't gonna take it. Because the max for the gang allegations was 10 years. Mm. The attempted murder was 25. So I knew I could beat the attempted murder. And if they could only max me out for 10 years.
You knew he wasn't going to snitch.
So on the pretrial, bro, on the fucking pretrial, right? So it's the fucking big thing. He comes, bro. He comes. And he gets up there, bro. And it's the big question. Is Richard Cabral, is the man that shot you right here, is he here today? And he looked at me and he said, no. He said, no, bro. You know, so it was like, but they were still trying to push this shit. You get me?
What do you think his motivation was for saying? Because he wanted his run back.
Yeah, cool. So I knew.
You have any idea at this point? Do you know who this guy is? Do you know what his, do you know anything about him? Have you asked about him?
Nah, do you care? Bro. I mean, you know, like, bro, whatever? Like real shit, like, when you're on the streets, bro, and you're active, shit happens. You know, and even shit that's happened to me, shit that's happened to my, you know, like, it comes with the, you know, it comes with the territory, yeah. You know? And I'm not saying that, like, I'm not, it's that, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like it is what it is, bro, you know? And I don't have an issue with it, but if he had an issue, that's kind of on him. You know, I wouldn't do it. You know, I'm sorry that shit happened like that, bro. Like, straight up, would I do that shit again? Fuck no, right? Was it a right reason? Fuck no, it wasn't a right reason, right? But it's done, bro, you know? But this is what happens when you're in the fucking, you know? Right. I understand that, but I don't know if he has the same understanding of that. So, yeah, that's kind of how it wrapped up, you know? Yeah, the day before trial, they offered me 5 years. The day before trial, wow. They offered me 5 years, bro. Wow. It's jury selection. They offered me 5 years. And so I get 2 years for the grave bodily injury. They slap another 2 years for the fucking gang association.
Yeah.
And they put one more year because I got busted with weed in the LA County Jail.
Oh, really? Is that true? Really? How did you get busted?
Yeah, baby.
How did that happen?
Bro, fucking with, bro, you can't stop this shit, bro. Yeah. Bro. So what happened, right? So, bro, it was crazy as fuck, bro. Fucking crazy as fuck, bro. We're at East Max, bro. I'm not, bro, a fucking sheriff gets popped for bringing dope to the homies.
Uh-huh.
I'm not involved, bro. I'm not even politicking, bro. I'm reaping the rewards, right?
Yeah.
I'm a southerner, bro.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get tripped off, bro. I'm a southerner, right? So fucking, bro, we have so much meth in the fucking dorm, bro. East Max, motherfuckers. Yeah, this is where East, bro, we have so much meth. Bro, we literally have fucking street knives. We have street knives in jail. Like, it's scary, bro. Yeah. But I'm like, my team has it. So I'm like, we're good.
Yeah, you motherfuckers
gotta worry about it, right?
Yeah.
So everybody, bro, it's crazy, bro. Like, bro, there's so much fucking heroin and so much, bro, I'm walking down and there's like, there's little 19-year-olds and everybody's fighting life. That's the thing about this time, bro. It's so crazy because the guys that are fighting life, LA County Jail, bro, from 18 to 25, that's the majority. There's hundreds of us, blacks and Mexicans, bro, all fighting life, bro. And think, I didn't kill nobody.
Right.
I didn't kill nobody, bro. You get what I'm saying? I'm not saying that my crime isn't worth fucking justice, but like, bro, we're all fucking. So anyhow, bro, fucking this fool gets high the night before. And he's the thing about methamphetamine, it fucks you up, bro. But in jail, we say your skeletons come out, right? Because all those secrets that you have, they come out, bro. And in the gangster world, we don't play you can't. So if there's little things in the meth, boom, bro, this motherfucker run. We're in a 130, it's a dorm of 130 people, right? He fucking runs. They're gonna kill me, some crazy shit, right? And then everybody knows by this time, like sometimes it happens, oh, there's another one, there he goes, right? And he fucking starts, they're trying to kill me, some crazy shit, bro, right? Fucking, so whatever, right? What's fun? So we go to sleep, right? But in the morning, like everybody that's running there, like we gotta just be on our shit, right? Hey, so I'm up early. We call it the gallo, right? Hey, bro, can you get the morning shift? Yeah, I got the morning shift, bro. I'm up at 5 a.m. doing my burpees. And so he's like, can you hold this shit? I'm like, bro, I got that shit, bro. He gives me the knife and he gives me the weed, right? And I was like, yeah, go ahead, do your thing, bro. I got this shit, right? Fucking, and sure enough, bro, like I remember, it's up, boom, 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 boom. Like an hour. And then you just hear them kick. And when the boys come, the boys come. Yeah. Boom! Get the fuck! Boom! Shit! I'm like, oh fuck!
Yeah.
I'm running to my butt. So I got him ready to go. So what does that mean? that, all right, these things are about to go up your ass, right? So you gotta make sure the shit's lubricated if the shit goes down. So I got them wrapped up, boom, 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 boom. I got them wrapped up in the fucking fingers, all that. And then I got them in another bag, in a lotion bag. Right? So
they're sitting in your lotion bag.
They're sitting in the lotion bag, right? Wrapped up, ready to go. They fucking come. I was like, fuck, I'm running to my fucking bed, bro. I make my bunk entrance, bro, because I gotta fucking drop low, right? Yeah. And fucking I was like, I got the weed and I got the knife. Which one is more important?
Got me the knife.
Gotta be the knife. Yeah. Johnson? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's the knife, right? Yeah. Fucking, bro, he's coming with a big Bertha, bro. These yeah. motherfuckers just boom, those yeah. knock you, bro. Yeah. Fuck, those things kill people, bro.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they're the spray ones, bro, but he's coming, bro. And he's like, get the fuck, everybody get the fuck down. And there's only a few of us.
And he knows. It's a race between him and you getting it up here. I mean, that's what I swear to God, this shit, bro.
He fucking comes, bro. I'm like, and I'm down, bro. I'm fucking squat. And I was like, I get it. And I'm trying to find it. You're trying to find the spot, right? Gotta find it. And then he's coming like, get the fuck down. He's like, get on your bunks. And I was like, fuck you,
right?
Find the spot and I just go,
wah, wah. Yeah, fuck, bro. Fuck, bro. Making sure that you got the right end going up first.
You ain't forget that. Get in there, right? Yeah, yeah. Bro, he comes down. He knows, bro. He knows because by the time he catches me, I come from the front. I'm taking out my hand, and he's like, he has something in his ass. He fucking, and I did, right? But he fucking takes me to the gate, and he was like, he has something. Boom, I'm first one, bro. Boom, I get slammed on the gate. And I'm like, fuck you, that shit, sir. You ain't getting that shit. Yeah. You ain't getting that shit, motherfuckers. Yeah. And the more I'm walking, that shit's going on, right? Right? And fucking, but I have the weed. And then fucking, boom, 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 boom. And he gets it. He's like, what is this? Oregano? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's oregano.
Yeah.
And he took me to the hole, right? Yeah. But that's the only reason why that saved me, that I got caught for the weed instead of the knife.
Wow.
So that's how I got the extra year.
Yeah. But when you get that sentence.
And then I go to court, right? Now I'm in Santa Clarita court. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing in Santa Clarita, right? Richard, you got court. Fucking Santa Clarita. I'm from LA, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So I go, and then they're like, all right, fucking, what's the charge? I don't even know the charge. Fucking having controlled substance in a fucking jail facility, whatever.
Yeah.
Plea bargain. What do they give me? A 1 year? I'm like, fuck it, I'm fighting 35, throw that shit Thank on,
you.
Baby. Yeah.
So you come down with that 5-year sentence, ultimately. Mm. What's your mindset around that?
Bro, fuck, I'm at CCP court, bro. CCP court is Charles Manson, fucking the Menendez, everybody came out. I'm in the legend, LA, the fucking Hall of Hollywood. I'm there, bro, you know, and everybody knows that court from the outside, from all these big cases, but I know it from the inside, from the dungeons. There's thousands of us coming from the Adelaide County Jail bus, fucking just seeing all of them, bro, all young, going to trial, and they'll come back. Gave me 50 years, dog. Gave me 80. Gave me 30. I took a deal for 25, homie. At least I'm getting out, you know? So this becomes your norm, bro. Your norm. And I'll tell you, I remember it, bro. I didn't even want to tell anybody how much time I got. Wow. I felt guilty, you know. I felt guilty because these fools. I mean, I remember he was Stomper from B&E, right? But he was from another side. He was 19, but I remember him fucking. We would be in these metal cages, right? The holding tanks, and like we would be sleeping on each other sometimes. I remember that he stepped on my he used my thigh as his pillow, right? And fucking remember, 19, bro, give him 55 years, you know. And so it was that, bro. When I got those 5 years, I was just grateful, bro. I was blessed. I knew that because I could have easily got those 35.
When you saw these young men, you know, guys coming up to you and saying, hey, man, I got, you know, 50 years, I got 30 years, you know, and did you see the fear and the pain behind it?
Sure. I remember the first time that fear hit me or that reality hit me. I was in Allegheny County Jail. And, you know, I think it was on that time, right? But it was all during the same time, right? 18 to 20, I was in and out, and I was sitting in the gang module, right? I just got transferred to the gang module, and it was a one-man cell. And I remember just, like looking in this dark place, right? The walls just in front of you, the lights are dim, And I remember people are getting fucking stabbed. I remember this dude walked by my cell, and he was no good, right? And my neighbor fucking stuck. He was with the sheriff walking. It was crazy, bro. The sheriff was walking him from court, and fucking my neighbor stuck his fucking arm out the thing and sliced his face with a razor.
When you say he was no good, can you explain what that means?
So in our political system of prison, right, with our cultures, the whites, the blacks, we all have our own politics, right, our own organizations. And so within the Southerners of LA County, he was no good in that aspect, like meaning that he was part of us, but he was no longer a part of us, right? And once you are no longer a part of us, and if you're in our presence, we are obligated, or we are right to engage in violence, you know, and whatever you have done will matter on how the end result will happen. So it could go all the way from a beating all the way to a killing, right? But that just determines on the case itself.
And can you explain, because I think that there's probably a lot of people who
have questions, deal with what this world is, and this understanding
of like when you're in that situation, can you explain the walls, I mean literally, right, that are around you, the
because
rules,
like
the politics,
yeah, because,
I don't think people
yeah,
understand
yeah, people
what
don't understand
are.
The politics, right, because the politics don't are not set in prisons. The politics come from your neighborhood, right? So whatever you do inside will affect you outside.
And
whatever
you
affect outside will affect you inside, right? And exactly, and affect the people that you love, if the people that you love are associated, which most likely they're gonna be because it's your family, right? And this is generational trauma that we're talking about. So your fucking family's more than likely gonna be involved in the gangs. So that's when you're stuck between a fucking hard place and a rock, that's kind of what it is.
But looking back, you understand this, where you understand where it's all coming from, and you have the ability to not hide from the shot from
right,
you can go right back into that world emotionally, even though all you're trying to do out in the world now is positivity.
Right.
And I find that beyond beautiful, bro. Mm. Can you look back at your upbringing and can you think of an example of somebody in your life? Was there anybody who's trying to lead you into a path that you would want to lead a youngster into now? Was there anybody looking out for you? Can you think of anybody? Did you have that? Or do you feel like
you
did?
There was good people in my family. You get me? But like, I don't think they really had a true understanding of what systemic oppression is.
For sure. But it's not really about being a good person. I mean, there are plenty of good. The situation you're in jail, doesn't matter whether you're good or bad. Once you're there, you're there, dude. And it's about like cutting that, like it's not really your choice then at that point. I would love for you to explain that.
Right.
But I also like, I know it's a lot of questions.
No, you're good. We're here, brother.
But like, because I really believe, and I know folks that really just didn't have that.
Yeah,
there was
mine. That's mine, bro. That's really, and like I said, you know, we were crying for help, but nobody came. You know, Father Greg, and Father Greg changed my life. Father Greg Boyle of Homeboy Industries, if it wasn't for that man, I wouldn't be here today, right? And so if people that don't know who Father Greg is, Father Greg operates the biggest gang nonprofit organization in the fucking world, right? It's been around for almost 35 years. He has worked with just gang members all his life. He has buried close to maybe 250 to this day as we speak. Continuously burying, you get what I'm saying? Continuously engaged, right? And when he came into my life and showed me love, showed me fuck love, because love gets fucking thrown around too much, right? When he just like did what you're doing right now, bro, just looking at me in the eyes and fucking listening to me, bro. Listening. No one listened, bro. Bro, everybody's crying for help. All these kids are crying for help, but nobody's fucking listening. And when he did that, it was fucking, and it fucked me up. It took so long to truly understand that a person could just genuinely just want to hear me, care about me. If that would have happened before in a real way, not coming in, because a lot of people get the shit fucked up. You can't come in one day and think that the child's going to be okay. Give him some good words. If you want to be committed to this fucking, to the help, you have to be committed, bro, you know, and give yourself seasons. No one's saying don't burn out, because I've seen that shit too in this work, bro. I do this work. I'm in the hood because I come from the hood. But it's you have to be willing to fucking go, you know? And yes, but no, bro, if someone would have been there, I think I would have, because when it came, I did listen.
Exactly. Can you tell me about how he came into your life?
So I get out of prison, right? And for those that are in Los Angeles, all gangs, bro, if you're from a gang, you have a connection to Homeboy Industries that has been around. Black, Mexican, Salvadorian, Korean, whatever gang you're in, Los Angeles, real gangs, right? That you have a direct connection. Somehow someone came in, and sure enough, when I came out of prison, and it's that, right? Like, you're a gang member. You have, I'm tatted up, I'm fucking on parole, like, who's gonna, then there's that shit, right? You wanna talk about fucking like, bro, here we go, $200. I made this shit fucking happen with $200. I'm sitting across you, they fucking gave me $200, I make this shit happen.
That's right.
That's what it is, bro. But you don't have no understanding of like fucking where to go, right? Homeboy Industries, bro.
Yeah.
Homeboys.
Okay, so before you even get that, you get the $200. Now you're out. You've done what you've done. I mean, we haven't even talked about prison, but you get out.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing people don't understand. I mean,
bro.
No one's gonna hire you. Where do you go? Like, what? Like, talk about that feeling. Talk about that first week out.
And it's this. You know, my mom picks me up, and she picks you up, and you know, but it's the same shit. You're going back to the same shit that you came out of, and it's that. You know, you. I have my son's 5. Mm. I haven't seen him. He doesn't know me. Mm. You know, like, fuck. You're just like, all right, fuck. Like, here I am, right? Here I am. But I knew one thing, that I was clear-headed, right?
And what do you mean?
I was clear. I was more clear than I have ever been, right? Like, I've seen life, bro. Like, I remember the first stabbing that I seen in Ironwood prison, bro. Like, I'm on the yard for like a fucking week. Boom, yard down. There's over a thousand. And I look, I'm like 21 when I hit the yard, bro. I'm a young kid still. I'm thin, fucking, you know, small, bro. I mean, and I just see these fucking, they're like our age, bro. Just fucking stabbing the fuck out of this fool in his neck, bro. Yard down. And these fools ain't stopping, dog. And fucking, boom, bro, that fool. I don't know if he died or what. And then you find out that he was a fucking, I think he was a child molester or a rapist, either or, bro. And this is how we're dealing with it, right? And you have to just acknowledge it, right? You gotta understanding it all, bro, but seeing what the truth is, you know? And yeah, bro, that shit changed me, bro. That shit fucking, prison changed me, bro. Prison fucking, seeing homies just fucking, just overdosing on heroin under the stairs type of shit, right? Just seeing fucking your own turning. The thing about, I did time in the South, there you go. Doing time in the South and doing time in the North is completely different, because in the South, there's thousands of us, bro. We don't have to be going at it with the Norteños up there, right? So I think it's a setting like this. When you're amongst, when all of you are there and you don't have nobody to turn to, you turn on each other. Mm. And that's what was happening. Mm. And I knew at that moment that I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do, but I knew I didn't want to do that, you know? And I knew, and at that time, my crimey, bro, it was crazy, because my crimey demon, I took the rap. Nothing happened to Demon, bro. Wow. But at the end of it, you know, that's how it was, bro. They thought that they had me. They're like, fuck it, we're gonna give him life. We don't need Demon, right? Demon fucking gets out. Demon gets paralyzed.
Wow, how so?
Got shot, bro. And I would have been there. You get what I'm saying? So like, these things are fucking happening in my life. These 3 years, bro.
Where were you when you found that out?
In Ironwood, bro. I get the letter. They're like, fucking, sure enough. But I would have been there. Those are my boys.
Is that immediate? Do you make that connection immediately?
Immediately, I would've been there. Immediately.
And is it gratitude? What's the feeling?
It's gratitude, but because I love these motherfuckers, it's also like, fuck, dog. Like, would that have happened? You know, could I have saved them? You know,
just part of you say, fuck, man, you don't need to be doing this. You're out there. You don't need to be doing this. Or do you not? You're not there yet.
At that time, bro, because even right now, bro, I cherish every single relationship I had with my name, you know, and I'm still in contact with my boys. That's so it's like, yeah, I know. Now I know what positions I should, you know, because it's that, bro. I'm like, bro, I don't live like that no more. Right. So if you're living like that, that shit's going to happen to you. Right. I'm not living like that. But if I'm there with you, you know, but yeah, bro, it's these things that just fucking, bro, my fucking, remember my best friend, Sammy Espinosa, that got life?
Yeah.
I'm like 8 months out, bro, on a new bus. So every time a new bus comes, hits the yard, we always, hey, what homies are here, right? Making sure whoever's, hey, we got a couple Eastsiders. So in prison, it's very specific like that. It's not just about the county. It's specific of your area.
Of course.
East side, right? Where's the east side car at, right? We got a couple new east siders. And boom, sure enough.
Sammy
Espinosa.
Wow.
Just came down from Pelican Bay.
Wow.
Either came down from the Bay or from Folsom. But he has already been down 15 years. So it's like, yeah, bro. And fucking, yeah, it was a trip because he told me how that shit went down. And he pretty much tells me, like, if things would have been different, he wasn't supposed to get life, bro. Sammy wasn't supposed to get life. That's pretty much what happened, bro. So
what do you mean Sammy wasn't supposed to get life?
Because so what happened, bro, in the case is that he shot this fool and his mom was in front of him, right? It was a whole thing, right? Homeboy had a gun though too. But when the whole ordeal happened, another gang member comes and takes the gun. So the self-defense shit is gone.
Gone.
Life.
Do you think in your experience, man, and this is something, you know, you asked me in the beginning, like, why, you know, what was this show about? Like, why do I do this in the first place? There's so many people, bro, who just get thrown in. Mm. And so many people's lives just, that's it. And, you know, there's people who engage, there's people who have done things they're ashamed of. Mm. There are people who have not followed the rules and should have learned lessons and kept on going, but they still get this opportunity. They get this chance. You know, when I was young, I got in a lot of trouble, but I had people around me to look out for me. Mm. And there's been a great deal of shame about how the disparity in fairness and the real shakes that we get in this fucking world. Mm. Just this notion of so many people like your friend Sammy that had they had a legal team, had they had this, like so many people, their lives are just thrown away and the hope is just fucking pulled out.
Yeah.
What percentage of the people are there? Not that they didn't make mistakes, not that they didn't do things wrong, but justice. Talk about justice. Talk about that.
I mean, everybody, bro, then you got those cases, right? Righteous intentional murders, right? That all, you know, like that's what it is, right? Like, yeah, like, you know, you have to face your consequences for that type of shit. But like, yeah, bro, that's the overall, like that everybody I fucking know, right? Like no one got a fair chance like that, I believe, because no one was papered up, bro. You have to have a fucking proper legal defense. You need to have a little bit fucking cash in your pocket, bro. The hood ain't got no cash in their pocket. So you're fucking dealing with a public defender. I'm grateful my state appointed. I want to find that motherfucker. I can't find this one.
Yeah.
My state appointed, bro.
Yeah.
Palafi, bro.
Boom.
Where the Palafi? I'm trying. Hey, but bro, I was blessed because mine was a high profile case that I was able to get a state appointed. You get what I'm saying? So yeah, bro, it's that. Yeah, I believe that's, you know.
When you look at Sammy and you look at the situation you're in, I mean, when you hear that's the situation, I mean, does any part of you, I mean, do you recognize that injustice? Does that make you want to take ownership of the opportunity that you feel like you have?
For sure. And that's why I do what I do, bro. That's why people that don't know about that, like, they trip out that I'm like, bro, I've never left. You get what I'm saying? Like, how I have to, bro. You know, I'm that person. You know, we are that people, right? Sure. Whoever. Yeah, bro. Yeah. Yeah. It's a certain obligation. But I understand that this is it heals. You get what I'm saying? Like, I've done it all, bro. I thought I was a savior type of shit, right? Why me? Why me, right? Fuck, like everybody, bro. But it doesn't work like that either, bro. You could walk to the fucking horse, you know, the horse to water, but you can't have him drink it, bro.
Drink it, yeah.
Type of shit, you know? So it's also that, you know, but it's deep, bro, and it's systemic, you know, and it's in the fucking, it's in these communities like that. And it's a hard thing to fucking combat, but I believe what I am doing is definitely, you know,
talk again about Father Boyle. Is it Father Boyle?
Father Greg. Yeah, Father Greg. Yeah, Father Boyle. Yeah. You know, I left maybe like 10 years ago. That's where acting came, bro. That's where my first acting job came out of, you know, Southland. They were looking for some real homies, you know, and they came. And that's a trip too, because like I remember during that season, 10 of us went to Warner Brothers Studio and we got the part. But I was the only one that knew that there was more to it, right? Because we talk about these communities, bro, acting, things that are normal to us in this bro, there's no sense, there's no connection to it, bro. So I knew that there was like a professional training. I knew it. I had no direct connection to it, bro. But at that time, I was in the bakery, right? And I was gonna be a master baker, whatever the fuck, right? A culinary chef of bakery, whatever. They were paying for me to go to school, right? That's the thing about homeboys. So whatever your thing is, it's not just about a job, right? They help you in whatever you think your shit is. You know what I'm saying? You want to be a fucking a DP. You want to be a cameraman. Right. We'll help you to fucking. It's not just about the job, bro.
But where are you? Where are you at this point mentally? Have you decided? You done with the gangs? Are you done with? Are you saying like, no, hey, look, bro, I'm not gonna live a life of crime anymore?
I come out and I come out respected now. I just did a bid on an attempted murder for the hood. You get me?
Yeah.
So like, I'm coming back. I'm still engaged. But I'm coming back different.
How so?
When you come out of a prison mentality with these and you're still involved in the neighborhood, you come not willingly or unwillingly, you're an enforcer now, right? You're like, hey, this shit ain't not, you know, you ain't playing. Like, and at that time I'm getting into mad fights with the homies, right? Bam, like, cause that's it. Like these last 3 years I have been trained in fucking, we just been fighting, rioting, stabbing. Fighting, rioting, stabbing. That's it, baby. That's it. So me taking off on you ain't shit to me right now, right? So yeah, bro, I come out and I'm kind of that, you know? Like, but not enforcing it, but I'm a presence, right? I'm a presence. And I'm a presence for my little homies and I'm a presence for the older homies. But I knew that I needed to do something different, and that was at Homeboys, bro. That was Father Greg right there.
I hate to harp on it, bro, but when you say that, like, you knew you needed to do something different.
Right.
Was there something specific that happened that made you know? And what different? Explain the difference.
Bro, you know what? My son, I think the game changer was my son, bro. I remember that journey, right? Going to Palmdale. And I don't have no money, you know? I have to take the train. Take the train to Palmdale. Find his apartment. His mom left him, you know. We met his mom. She kind of did him dirty like that, you know. And I'm not gonna throw her under the bus, but she ain't around at that time. And his grandma's there, right? I knock on the door, and he's in the room. And then she was like, Adrian, there's someone here to see you. And like this little white complected little boy comes out, you know. He fucking little. Fucked up. He has like he has silver teeth at that time and shit. I'm like, damn, my boy, what happened? And he has a little G.I. Joe. I remember he fucking, like, he just hands it to me, you know? And she's like, that's your dad. And then it was that, bro, you know? You're just like, fuck, like, it changed you, dog. You're like, fuck, like my dad wasn't there, and here you are, like, you know, you love me and shit, but, like, I gotta fix this shit, son, you know? I'm sorry, so I didn't, you know, I don't know, but you just feel these emotions, you know? And I think that was the motherfucker right there, bro. Like, and I didn't know. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that I had to fucking be there, you know? Because my dad left, bro. My dad left to fucking Texas, you know? Like, and not having your dad makes a fucking difference, bro, you know? Not having your mom makes a fucking difference, but not having your fucking dad makes a difference, bro.
When you say you knew then that you needed to be there, what did be there mean? What did that encompass?
You know, bro, and, like, my mind could only grasp what it could grasp at that time. I knew that I couldn't leave you. That I wasn't gonna leave you, that I was gonna show up. And that's it, that's all. I'm gonna take you to McDonald's. All I got is enough money for McDonald's, my son, but I'm gonna take you. That's it, but we overthink this shit. Fucking class, fucking psychology, therapy, just fucking be there for your children, you dumb fucks. Be there, love them, listen. It's not complicated, homie, right? That's it, bro, that's all I did, bro. That's all I did, he fucking is. And then I didn't stop, bro. Fucking was it not, bro? His mom fucked him up, you know? And I fucking, boom. Dude, fuck, I'm gonna be right here, son.
And that little boy is the boy that I met.
Little boy's a little, you know, grown up boy with the, you know?
And I tell you what, man, that, you know, because we, you know, we just, you know, had this beautiful, you know, artistic experience, man, where you know, and I met. I met that boy, you know, and that's a love boy, man. Hey. He loves his dad, and that's a solid young man.
Yeah, bro, it was crazy.
You did your job, bro.
I'll tell you a story right now, right? Like, that night, bro, like, fucking me and you made magic that night, bro. Like, our whole team, you know? And, like, fucking for my son to see us, you know? Like, you know, like, him come and experience that fucking premium theater, that premium gift of audience and fucking performers, yeah. You know? And that night, his fucking best friend, his niece died. That night, bro. That night, bro, his cousin, his best friend, his fucking dog, Marissa, bro. He fucking died that night, bro. And fucking like, and it was fuck, bro. I walked in that room, bro. And he, and Jose was with him, bro. And Jose, he's like, we've been up all night, bro. And he was like, Marissa died last night, dad. And you were just like, fuck. And it was just like, boom, bro. Like, that was the one that took him. He never had nobody that close to him, you know? Like, that was his fucking best friend, bro. And like, and I, it was like, go, this is go time. This is go time, right? All those trips, everything, this is go time. What are you going to do, Rich? You know, and I had to be there for him. I had to love him. I had to just, that was my niece, bro. Marissa was my niece, you know? I fucking seen her like that. But I was like, it's not that time for you to fucking mourn. Don't be, it's not that time for you to cry right now, Rich. You got to be there for him. That's what it was, bro, you know? So, yeah, that's it, bro, you know? It keeps on evolving, the being, but I think it's still being at the end of the day. Being, listening, comforting. And that's what I try to do.
So you have that experience with the little man, with the G.I. Joe, and you decide you're going to be there. So if you be there, that means you can't. You know, you can't fuck up no more.
Committed, bro.
Right?
Committed. Look, bro, life is always going to fucking, it's going to come with it, right? Our life is always going to throw me struggles, right, bro? But life is always going to present where you could get out. But I needed to fucking just stay committed, right? Stay committed to fucking growing and evolving and not wanting, bro. I don't want negative shit. You know, at the end of it, bro, hood shit is negative. It's a low frequency, bro, and it's motherfuckers that are on some survival shit. You get them. So I knew that I didn't want that. And as long as I refocused my energy, the world kept on opening up to me, opening up to the fucking universe. I don't know what it is, universe, but whatever the fuck you want, show me, and I'll fucking and I'll run with it. That's it, bro.
Talk to me about
it's refocusing your energy, that's brother. Right. That's refocusing right. That's the right. Motherfucker. That's all it is.
But did it take, you know, getting into being an artist?
Fuck yeah,
can you
bro.
Remember
fuck
the
yeah,
first
bro.
Day
the
you step, tapped bro, into something?
The fucking
that
Stephen
really
Adley Gergis fucking, what the fuck was it? Den of Thieves, Flacco, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, that, when I tapped into the art, right, because I believe as an artist, right, that it's a way to fucking get these emotions out, fucking understand these emotions in a real way, right? And when I read that fucking monologue from Flacco, and for people that don't know that monologue, it's him explain. So the play is, you remember that play?
Of course.
Fucking right. It's the scene where fucking they're all who? Why shouldn't I die? Why shouldn't I die and why should you die type of shit, right? And everybody's giving their fucking monologue of life. And so Flacco goes and he starts off, but you think Flacco's a badass motherfucker, right? You just think he's a fucking dick.
Yep.
And in that monologue, he explained, if you would have grew up like me, and if you would have fucking faced and had to endure, what would you do type of shit, you know? And like, I remember the second time I did it. I remember I went in, boom. I read it. My acting coach was like, let's do that shit one more time, Rich. But he knew it was coming, bro. He knew it was coming. And I remember I sat on that chair and I hit that fucking monologue, bro. And I fucking broke.
Yeah.
And I remember I cried, bro. Yeah. I cried, bro. In that fucking, on that stage, bro. And something told me, like, because when as a man born in these communities, when you cry, you try to shut that shit down. And, like, I remember that day I didn't. He was like, here it is, Rich. Like, just let it go. Let it go, Rich. And fucking, I
fuck yeah.
And you're just there. You're gone, bro. You're gone. You're gone in the spirit world, right?
That's right.
Real motherfuckers don't know that shit. When you're in it, bro, we're in the spirit world. We're no longer here. And I remember just fully turn off the lights and fucking people are fucking just, you know, it changes you, bro. It changes everybody when you experience something that was fucking real, you know, and like, that was it, dog.
Yeah.
That was it. I was like, fuck it, you know. I didn't know how to understand the process. I was all fucked up, but I knew something fucking was released. And that was it, bro. I said, I don't know what this acting shit's going to be, but if I could keep on exercising this shit and keep on making money in this career, that's good enough for me.
Fuck yeah. for somebody out there who's lost and is looking for something, looking
I always say this, as much energy you got enough to search on TikTok and Instagram, motherfuckers, get your fucking energy and search over there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an option, no?
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, like, you have a fucking, you have a choice these days.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Everybody has a fucking choice.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
No one fucking forced you to fucking stay in the fucking theater and do all that shit. I remember, I'm gonna tell you, so I was in Ironwood State Prison, right? And so they make you do these pre-release class, right? Mm-hmm. And they tell you about how to spend your money and stupid shit, right? Yeah, fucking, yeah, yeah. What the governor, who gives a fuck what the governor says? I'm here because I'm motherfucking.
Yeah.
I'm not, I'm just, yeah. So, but they watch you, make you watch this documentary, bro. And you know what documentary I watched, bro? Huh. I had no idea, and it fucked me up. And it's real. Danny Trejo's documentary.
Wow. Wow.
And I, like, you're seeing TV, you're seeing Con Air, you're seeing Machete, like, but you don't, there's no stories. Danny doesn't have a, you know, unless you have access to fucking hear a story, you don't know, bro. And I didn't know. And then I hear he was in San Quentin. He, I was like, oh, this fool was me. You know, like, that clip, bro, and it was that, like, and I remember Suspect Entertainment had came out, Maxim Magazine, I don't know if you remember, this Maxim Magazine had put out this article on Suspect Entertainment that were a group of homies during that time, and they were, like, on training day when David Ayer was buried, during that era, bro, mm-hmm. They were all background homies, mm-hmm. And that, and the Danny Trejo, during that time, right before coming out of prison, it sparked that seed, bro.
Wow.
Straight up.
Wow.
Straight the fuck up.
Wow.
So when Southland came, bro, I was already going. I was like, it was like, fucking Danny could do it. You got these fools doing it. Like, it was that.
But most motherfuckers do. They get into this thing and they come out here to LA and they're like, yo, a casting call. Like, hey, I want to be on TV. Hey, but the fact that you went in and you're fucking with Gert, like you're in acting class, you're going into theater. I mean, the first time you and I met, was down in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Talking about theater.
Talking about theater, man. And like, you were just some dude. Who is this cat? And you like came up to me like, yo, bro. I mean, you were just in that one little scene with me. And I'll never forget. I was telling my wife about it this morning. I'm like, baby, he like came up to me. This like young cat, he's all tatted up. And I'm like doing my thing. He's like, yo, bro, go as hard as you fucking want to go. I'm like, yo, this is my kind of motherfucker, dude. And he's like, and then like we did it once and you were like, no, dude, like for real, come hard. I'm like, this dude's about that life. And I remember I like choked you up against the wall. And you were like going back at him. I'm like, yo, I fuck with this dude. And you said, like, what do I do? Yeah. Like, what do you think? And I was like, theater, bro.
That's it, bro.
But like, you did that, bro.
It's
like
this,
that's so
look
rare.
It, bro. It's like this, though. Like, when I was in the shit, bro, I maxed out. I always want, like, bro, the gang module, what people don't know about the gang module, not like county jail, it's where they put, like, the fucking, like, the worst of the worst of the worst, the high-ranking Southern offenders, right, bro? Like, you're, and, like, in there, bro, it's separate. Like, you're militant, bro. But, like, it was crazy because I wanted to be there. In my mind, I always want to fucking max out. Where's the max in this, baby? I'm going to find that shit. And then I could tell you what this shit is. But if you don't go hard, you're never going to find out. That was the main thing, bro. I knew I had to max out. You got to cut energy, right? I had to stop the bakery shit. Oh, you want to be an actor, Richard? Stop that shit. Because you can't. You're going to be half good, right? Mm-hmm. It was really that, bro. Just
gotta
fucking
go all the way.
You gotta go all the way. Because if not, you're not gonna see the results.
That's right.
And that was it, bro. I seen all the results. I went all out in the gang world, bro. I seen it. I fucking got life. I was gonna get life, right? And when the acting came in, I was like, and it was that. What people don't know, bro, like, you're from the East Coast. I'm from the West Coast, bro. Training as an actor, well, I don't know where you trained at, but, bro, it's different.
It's different.
It's fucking different, bro. Sure. Motherfuckers come out here, and you're just like, what? This is acting? Like, everybody looks pretty as fuck. You guys, all you fools look pretty.
It's like audition class. And, like, yeah, like, how to do a commercial model. Well, that's what I'm saying. I have so much respect
for me, bro, think about this is why, bro. Because by the time I came into acting, bro, I was an outsider. Already, bro, I was already blasted up, right? I knew all the other bullshit. I couldn't, bro, and I had kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that, bro. Mm-hmm. Fuck what everybody's talking about, bro, motherfuckers. I had to make this shit happen. What, one, now four kids. I've always had kids during this whole time, right? So this couldn't be my hobby type of shit, bro. I needed to make this shit work, bro. Right. And the only way I was gonna make this shit work and understand if this shit was gonna work is if I maxed out. Fast.
How did you figure out, how did you know that maxing out meant getting on stage, doing a one-man show, reading plays, getting into theater. How did you not, how did you decide, which so many people make the mistake, right, that maxing out is, if I'm not actively trying to get on TV, if I'm not actively trying to get an agent.
No, because the thing is, the thing is this, bro, because when the opportunity comes, dog, and I'll tell you the first time, when that opportunity comes, and when shit hits the fan, dog, all that other shit doesn't give a fuck, because when you're in the presence of you, homie, and I'm going to tell you one more, the first time I fucking felt that was with Mal Gibson on Bloodfather, bro, and Mal was not fucking playing, homie, and if I wasn't ready to fucking
match that,
straight up, homie.
Yeah, yeah, bring it, yeah.
Is your Instagram gonna help you with that?
Straight up.
Right? Yeah. And boom, you're done, homie. You're done. Your one opportunity just came. And if you'll fucking let this shit, it's gone, baby. Type of shit, right? Nah, you ain't gonna do that shit to me. You ain't doing that shit to me, baby. Mal, don't give a fuck. Mal, bring that shit. Let's go.
Yep,
let's
yep,
go.
Yep.
Give a fuck where you, I don't give a fuck about fucking Paco Lipto, let's do this shit.
Yeah, man, but that's it, right?
It's all good with Mal, but it was that type of shit because he comes to fucking engage, dog. Yeah. When you come with the big wigs, dog, and like, bro, like, I was talking with my girl, bro, like, I was blessed, dog, like, within the first year and a half, bro, like, I'm a Ridley Scott, dog, I'm a fucking Fassbender and all them fools on the counselor type of shit, dog, like, and it was just like, you bet, bro. If I didn't do that when the monologue of Ridley Scott came and you got that opportunity, homie, and you're not able to deliver that
That's
shit.
Right. That's right.
And for me, that was it, bro. That's like, right. And for me, like, yeah, motherfuckers, I handled that monologue with Ridley Scott in that time. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like, life has happened, but it's that, bro. If I wasn't ready for that opportunity, I've seen that shit. I've seen actors fumble on there and they look like fucking, they look stupid as fuck. But you have an opportunity, homie, and you fucking, you did a few more push-ups instead of reading your lines? You did a few more push-ups, you stupid motherfucker, yeah, instead of knowing your lines.
Yeah.
But it's coming, I mean, you said, like, you read that there's so many people now that are like, wow, I can get this opportunity. Like, you know, I come from the gang world. I come from this world. I came from the military world, so I can play military football. But, like, you somehow,
bro,
had the presence of mind.
And it was like this, bro. Like, bro, you fucking look at them, bro. You come, who the fuck did you like? What did they do? Who did you like? What did they do?
That's right.
Meryl Streep, Pacino's, right? I'm from that. Vorskar, you know, all that shit. Right. Dog, whatever, bro. Whoever the fuck your go-to was, right? Who are your favorites and what did they do? And when you go back to that era, right? All of them came from the theater, dog.
Every single one.
So why should it be any different?
That's right. And you have this understanding. And then, in your words.
And then, boom. And I was like, and what did you read? Stanislavski, Meisner, fucking, oh, let's go. Right. Give me all that shit.
Right.
I'm going to max. That's how you're going to max out. I want everything. I want to understand every nook and fucking cranny of this. Because you ain't going to get over on me.
That's right.
And if you approach life like that, how can you get fucking fucked? You know what
that's
I'm
right.
saying?
That's right.
That's me, brother.
That's right. In your words, how do you explain sort of the difference between theater and film and television? You know, like, what does that mean
in
to
respects
you?
To all mediums.
Yeah.
But as a performer, there is nothing like the theater. There is nothing that brings greater joy to my soul than the fucking theater. Because it's not about me. It's about them. Mm-hmm. It's about us. It's mm-hmm. about the audience. And mm-hmm. it's about, you know, it becomes this unison, this ecosystem of energy in the mm-hmm. theater, bro. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you cannot capture on film and television. Mm-hmm. Until my dying day, I believe as long as I'm acting, I will forever want to be in the theater.
Yeah. Amen. Can you tell me just, if you could, you talked about it a little bit, but again, I was really taken with your relationship with your son, man. Mm. I loved spending time with him. And what I hate that he had that tragedy, you know, later on in that night. But those 2 days that I spent with him, I really was just taken with how kind and thoughtful and a present young man he was, and how much he admired and loved you. It was palpable. And you said something to me, you know, about lost time, and you just got to be with him. Can you just talk a little bit more about fatherhood and what it means to you and how it serves you and how you serve it?
You know, I just came back from a trip seeing my youngest children, which I don't live with, in Miami. My youngest are in Miami. And then I have my two more, my 13-year-old in Los Angeles, and then my son. And there's three moms, right? And I say that because every child and every mom is a different situation. You get me? But the main thing is never letting them know that I stopped. You know, that I'm not gonna stop loving them, that I'm not gonna stop being there. They could be fucking 10 miles away, they could be fucking 3,000 miles away. But at the end of the day, as long as you're fucking there, and it's that, like, the challenges between Adrian, between Bella, between Damiano and Flaca, I call her, are completely different. Mm-hmm. But I think the heart of it is just fucking just being there for them in that personal way and being patient and understanding, you get me? And understanding too that children are medicine, bro. Children give our life. Children give us fucking happiness, right? Like looking at my child out on the beach, you know, and he has this fucking stick. He's like, I'm gonna plant a tree right here. Like, he's so committed, bro. And like, they're so pure, bro. And we were that.
We were pure,
you get me? Yeah. But the life has fucked us up and made us fucking think and see things, you know? And it's that, bro, just cherishing those moments and that's kind of how I try to approach, you know, all my children.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Where I'm at, bro, I think I've over a decade of being in the industry, right, in film and television, and truly understanding that film and television is not the craft of acting, right? And it doesn't give me that thing that I talked to you about in the theater. And if I'm not receiving that feeling in the theater or whatever that is in a real way, then this thing could kill my joy, right? I don't want the joy of acting to be killed, bro, because of the industry.
Can you give me an example of when you've smelt that?
My last show was Time to Go, and things changed, right? And I felt that it was done, bro. After, the joy is gone, right? For whatever reason, whether it's money, whether it's power, when things start getting in front of the story, it is time to fucking go. For me, right? I don't give a fuck what showrunner, what fucking director, what star, it's time to fucking go. That there should be no reason to treat people unjustly. There should be no reason to fucking to feel that you're power, that you could do whatever the fuck you want on a show. That should never happen. And I can't speak on the behalf of everybody, but I could speak on the behalf of me, that when that happens, it's time to fucking go.
Do you feel that, I get what you're saying about the theater, and I'm with you
100%. Right.
There is a pulverization of hierarchy in the theater.
Yeah, also, every job, yeah,
like,
yeah,
there's
yeah,
no such thing as
yeah,
a small role.
Right.
The audience is just as important as the people on stage. It is a group, it is a collection, it is a collective.
Right.
I understand that once you get into, just in terms of the economics of how film and television are made, that it can be poisoned quickly.
Right. Look at, bro, we love the craft of acting, bro. What does it do? Why? What the fuck does this thing do, right? I believe that it has the power to not only heal myself, but it has the power to heal the audience, right? Or not even heal them, right? But at least open their fucking mind.
Connect, reach them, man. Go through something.
But by the time you get it on fucking film and television, bro, it has so tainted. Executives have pissed all over it, right? The essence of what that fucking true story is gone, right? Why? Because we need a sexy scene. Or we need a little fucking whatever, right? Whatever to fucking, to make it more spicy to fucking Hollywood and sexy to net, whatever fucking station you're is. It's that, bro. And I'm tired, bro. I'm tired, you get me? Like right now I'm reinventing myself, bro. I have started my coffee company and this shit's fucking going off right now, bro. And I feel
that. What's your coffee company called?
Debito Coffee Company, bro. And we got our first brick and mortar in the city of Pasadena in Colorado. And why I say this, bro, that it's one of the greatest moments of my life right now, bro, because I've been giving to others, now I'm giving to myself.
Beautiful.
I don't want any of your energy. I've given all my energy, and I've seen what you guys do to my energy. I've seen when I put my heart and soul, I see how you guys fucking feel about that. And fuck you. Fuck you for not respecting my heart and soul. Fuck you for not respecting that I fucking fasted for fucking 6 months, my body. I fucking lost weight, deprived myself, right? And if you don't respect it, fuck you. I'm done, baby. This is all me right here. I want all my energy for myself now. And what can I create? I don't know. But I'm about to find out. Mm. I'm about to fucking find out, right? Because if I could create all this out of prison with $200, what can't I fucking do?
The same way that you talked about cutting off the bakery and cutting, that was no longer looking.
Yeah. Hollywood, baby, we're cutting, baby. We're cutting. We're keep on cutting, baby.
When you say Hollywood, no, I mean, no,
it's not even Hollywood. It's not Hollywood. It's not Hollywood because we're part of it, brother. We're part of Hollywood, right? But you nasty motherfuckers.
That's right.
You nasty motherfuckers. Fuck you fools, right?
That's right.
Straight up. That's right. Fuck you. It's that, bro. People fucking taking advantage of people, bro.
That's right. So tell me.
And if you don't say anything, you're just as guilty, motherfucker.
That's right.
If you don't say anything and the shit is happening, fuck you too, baby.
That's right.
And I don't want nothing to do with you. And fuck, bro, if you're there, bro, and if a woman or a man, right, is getting taken advantage and you fucking turn and go like that,
amen.
Fuck you.
Amen. Amen.
Fuck you.
Amen. Amen. And so tell me in terms of the building. So I understand what we're turning our backs on. I understand that's no longer a part of. What are we building? What are we building as artists?
We're building a safe space to fucking, a safe space, brother, and to be fucking proud and fucking and not have that outside world influence you or whatever is going on. That's it, bro. I want this. This is what you created, right? This is that's all I want for people to be able to fucking enjoy themselves and you want to have a dinner? You want to have a fucking podcast? Whatever, bro. My Tepito is my essence of what Homeboy Industries now. It's that, bro. I have homies there, bro. You know, we have a training program, bro. Like everything that is happening that Homeboys does, we are doing at Tepito. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do you want to do? What don't you want to do type of shit?
Tell me what you want to do. I want to know specifically, man, as an artist. I understand that there's art in what you're doing with the cup, but like I have fucking worked with you, homie. Like I know what you give,
bro,
as an actor.
Look at there's only
you're not done with that, bro.
No. There's only a few people in this world, bro, that have access to me as an actor right now. Mm-hmm. And two of them are sitting in this room. It's you and my lady. Mm. That, bro, it like, that's it. I just want to fuck with, you know, like, bro, like, whatever the fuck you want to do, or you know what I'm saying? It's going to be fucking, it's that because you're going to give your heart and soul. Whatever my girl wants to do, it's going to be, because she's going to give her heart and soul.
The people that you ride with.
Like that,
the
bro.
The people that you ride with.
You throw with
down.
You. Hey, bro, if you ain't in my circle right now, I don't want you. You ain't supposed to be
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
Straight up, bro. I don't need new friends, dog.
I'm with you. Tell me about your lady, man.
That Deborah Moore Munoz, mm-hmm. you know, we've met on our last show, bro. Mm-hmm. And
she's a writer.
Tell me producer, about her writing, bro. She's fucking so smart, bro. And I don't even want to, but bro, she's just fucking, yeah, bro. Season three was my greatest fucking season of Mayans, bro. And I honestly feel because she was there for me in the writing. For me, we weren't with each other at that time, bro. So she was just there as a fucking creative and as a friend. And I was able to fucking truly be vulnerable and be able to give one of the greatest performances that I have done in my life on season three.
Mm. Okay, so hang on, man. This is heavy to me because just from a little insider baseball, but I don't give a fuck. I'm just talking to you, man. So she's a writer on the show. Yeah, you're an actor on the show. Uh-huh. And from being on shows, you know, the relationship between the actors and the writers, if anything, you know, it's, you know, I mean, for me, it's always contentious because I'm like, nah, I'm not saying that shit. And like, I'm sorry. But like, how does that then become personal? I mean, I guess she's on set sometimes. Like, how does
that
become?
She was on set. Yeah, she was on set. She was on set. And
But was there something beautiful about the kid? She wrote for you in a certain way that made you say, like, who the fuck is this human? Like, can you walk me through that?
And most importantly, it's not, but she was on set, right? And most importantly, like, bro, like, fucking when you're in it, bro, I remember fucking not eating for like 2 days on that motherfucker, bro. And like, she like, you want an apple?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just Simple. That. You want some almonds? You got your A, you eat your almonds today, bro? And it's just like, yeah, bro. And it was that, like just somebody being there that cared, you know? And after, nothing happened, but after we, you know? It was completely after, bro. And I mean, we're 11 days apart. You put that shit, born on the same, it was crazy. Okay, so, bro, we went to the same high school, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Type of shit.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, bro, like, I believe in the spirit world, bro. I follow the fucking, what the spirit world's trying. But we went to the same high school. They didn't fucking know each other. She went to Columbia. I went to California Department of Corrections. Bro, the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
On the same show, though.
Yeah, yeah.
20 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
Born fucking, yeah, literally, same year, 1983, 11 days apart, bro. Wow. I was like, what the fuck?
So you, so you
she
guys...
was like, hey, come out to Joshua Tree. I was like, all right. Jumped on the fucking Harley, went out to Joshua Tree, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking was all over, bro. If anybody knows about Joshua Tree, mushrooms and Joshua Tree.
I know. It's a necessity, bro. It's a necessity for any good relationship. I'm with you on that. What do you love about him?
His intensity and his passion.
Nah, this motherfucker's got neither one.
Yeah. My patience. She says I'm a patient man, bro.
That is absolutely not what it is.
Oh man, it's beautiful.
But you know what I do love about her is that, like, it's crazy, right? Because we're both Mexicans born here, right? So we had really no connection to Mexico. And what I love about her is that, like, during this time of our life, like, we've been in Mexico, like, so much now, right? And what going back to your mother country does to you. And I think for both of us, we've just been traveling. But she went with me. And it's beautiful because she's been with me. She was the first one to go with me to the farm, to the coffee farm, you know. And it's just that, you know, getting a deeper understanding from our people and enjoying it together, bro. You know, I believe that being separated from your people and your culture, it fucks you up. You know, I'm not saying that you have to, like, oh, I am all this, but truly understand
time.
Your culture,
bro.
Like, I'm a Mexican, bro. I never knew there was fucking pyramids in my fucking country, bro. Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, that shit was crazy when I went there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's this separation that has been for all cultures, European cultures too, bro. Like, you're not just an American, bro. You're fucking, there's this huge thing. And like, that has been a huge, my spirituality, bro, my reconnecting to who the fuck I am has been a huge influence in who I am today.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
One of my first things that I did after I became established, right? One of my first programs at Homeboy Industries was called the All Heart Class, right? Where it was a free, I trained whoever wanted to come, bro. I just fucking, like, whoever comes and fucking will do scenes, and I'm gonna walk you what a scene is. And it would be the I remember my first, because my first exercises, bro, what I would just be like, get on the stage and talk. And I would just be like, well, tell me about that. What happened? And when people start talking, you could see what they want to talk about.
Right.
Give me a little bit of that. Give
That's
me a little bit of that, right? And before you know it, they're crying, bro. You know, and not because of me. I didn't do shit.
Yeah.
And you just, and boom, we're just there. We're all quiet. We're all honoring them. Changes, bro. Completely changed. I have Benjamin Levy, right? He was one of the guys that I mentored, right? And to see him, you know, as a series regular now, you know, and just to see, and some of them became stand-up comedians, you know what I'm saying? Some of them went back to their job, but it didn't matter, but they left with something that they didn't have. And what was that? It was a space to express. You get me? And like, that's it. Like, we have held on to these dark secrets or these things that have happened to us. And if you keep them in, yeah, but if you let them out, shit changes.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what art does, especially on this side.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you you coming and doing this, man.
Of course,
man.
Of course.
It's a real honor, man. Mm. And I love that you and I have reconnected. And I don't know, man. I just there's a lot more to come, man. And I consider it a blessing. I'm proud to be your
Thank
friend.
Thank you, brother.
Man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love, brother.
Yeah, I love you, bro. Thank you, man. Thank you for doing this, man.
Of course, man.